How about that?
Here we go.
I think we, the funny thing is if people could see what, like the 15 minutes in the office setup before the show, like is, might be more comedy than the actual show. Yeah, it's the Doodoo and Foo show coming at you live in a couple different angles. I'm Dan Savage, one of your co-hosts, Doodoo.
I'm Mike Crisafulli, Foo.
The Doodoo and Foo show. If you're not sure what Doodoo and Foo is, you're going to have to go back and watch episode one. I don't know where you find it yet. I still got to figure all that out. I did get a website. I bought the website. I think I told you a couple weeks ago. I think it's thedoodooandfooshow.com. Mm. So at some point, I'm going to load them all up so they're in order. So if somebody wants to go back and understand what Doodoo and Foo is from, my folks tuning in on Facebook, old friends should absolutely know what Doodoo is, and I think anybody who's known you long enough would know what Foo is. But for those that don't, they got to go back and watch the first episode. What's happening?
Another day, another week.
Another week.
Another good day, good week.
Thursday, we got Cinco de Mayo coming up on the 5th.
Yes.
That's Sunday.
Correct.
You busy? Busy. That's obviously a fairly busy day in Vegas.
Yeah. Our place hasn't been as busy as it once was with that.
Yep.
But we'll see. This year, every year is different. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, they had an event. I think because it's on a Sunday, it's on a weekend. They just, a student union here did a event today with some ethnic foods and some music going. And KB and Paige.
Very good.
KB and Paige are on the list.
Very good. Very good.
They were helping out getting all that together today. So yeah, it's a fun weekend. We have the, I have the Ball Dogs event, which is on the 5th at Liberty High School.
Yeah.
I think it's Liberty High School. They have a local all-star game, Boys and Girls High School, and then a national all-star game, Boys and Girls High School. So we got a couple CSN signees playing in it, which is always good.
There you go.
And usually we get a player or two. Last year we got two players from the game. So it's a fun game, great event. My guy Neil over at the Ball Dogs, a whole bunch of people that are over there. Former player of ours, Juliana G.
Yeah, G.
She's one of the spokeswomen for the Ball Dogs. So we love that those guys have us out every year and get a chance to see some players maybe we hadn't seen yet.
Right, of course. Good event.
Great event. Yeah. Really, so
great event.
Well, let's get the. So we got some cool stuff. Might be a little heavy on the CSN stuff today.
Yeah, of course. We've
got some pretty cool news. But let's shoot around the, at least when I say local, I guess, you know, let's look at the Golden Knights 2-2, right?
They lost yesterday. Down 3-2.
Down 3-2. So their backs are against the wall. Coming home though. Coming home. So they'll be playing home probably tomorrow, I would guess.
I didn't even look that up.
Yep. So their backs against the wall.
Yes.
You know, I think they've played well. I watched the overtime game the other day, and they had a shot to win it.
Yeah.
Goldie played great. It was just, you know, they're playing a good team.
They're playing a very good team. Yeah. How quickly a series can turn around. When we last, the last episode when we left, they were up
2-0. And they've lost 3 in a row.
Right, now they're down 3-2. Right.
Yeah. So, and then we go around the horn in the NBA. What's really cool about the NBA now compared to years back is I know Denver just took care of the Lakers in five, but in general, and the Heat lost to the Celtics. They got stomped last night. Sorry, Coach Tracy. They got stomped last night. But in general, man, this first round games are really good.
Very good.
And I feel bad for the youth that don't remember when it used to be the best of three.
Yeah, but years ago.
Years ago.
A long time ago, yes.
Yeah, imagine how many upsets there'd be if it was best of three.
Of course, you know, the longer the series is, normally the better team wins.
Yep.
Right.
And I think that's why they probably moved it down the, you know. Back in the day, I think those top teams were just so much better.
Yeah.
They didn't want to play seven-game series, right? When you had those great Lakers teams or the Bulls teams or the Pistons. It was like that first round was almost like a waste of time. But then as the league became more competitive.
There you go.
You add more.
More competitive, teams. More popular as the league evolved. Yeah.
So your Knicks play tonight.
They do.
In Philly.
Like I said before the series started, obviously knew that was going to be a tough one. I think this is going back to New York for Game 7. I hate to say it. I'd like to see them close it out, obviously, tonight, but we'll see.
Madison Square Garden fans would be very excited to have Game 7 at home. I think they want to win in six, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But being able to play Game 7 at Madison Square Garden.
It's nothing like that.
Even if it's first round, they'll treat it like it's the
finals. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So, and then, of course, like I had mentioned earlier, the Celtics took care of the Heat. You know, no Jimmy Butler, although Porzingis was out. He looks like he's going to miss maybe the next series or a couple games out of the next series. That's pretty tough, especially with Cleveland and Orlando are kind of locking horns as well.
Yeah,
so
what a crazy series that is, huh?
Yeah, it's nuts. And you know what? Those are two teams that have scary potential for whoever's seen. Well, Boston will see one of them next.
Right.
But you know, you got somebody like Mitchell or Paolo. I mean, is Banchero? Yeah, absolutely. Those guys are hooping. They're not one man shows. So, and then on the Western Conference. Dallas looked really good last night. Yeah. I think last week I was saying the Clippers might shock somebody.
Right, yeah, yep.
Dallas looked really good.
Dallas looked really good. Yeah. Really good. Yeah, both conferences.
And who do you like out of the West? Who do you – forget about matchups. Who are the top two teams right now as we stand today?
Tough to go against Denver.
Denver's really good.
Yeah, obviously. You know, and as far as the second team out of the West, like you said, Dallas is playing well. Maybe Minnesota. You know, right? I mean,
nobody wants to play them.
Nobody wants to play them.
I think that might be the team. If you took a vote in the NBA of all the players,
yeah,
Denver's probably up there. Boston's up there, but take away the top two elites, nobody wants to play Minnesota.
No, right? And it's funny because we were talking about it at work, and actually, one of the guys he goes, "I'll take Minnesota." I says, "Not a bad choice.
Not a bad choice.
Not a bad choice at all."
That was a goofy choice, not up until recently,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
Minnesota
of course
was always. You know, my guy Anthony Peeler played for Minnesota back in the day. I mean, you know, even some of the names we talked about, Marbury and KG. I mean, Minnesota's always had a unique team, but this is a legit team right
now. Yeah, this team's solid. Absolutely. But playoffs have been very good, which is good. The NBA needs that.
NBA does need it.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think the ratings are up this year from last year.
I believe it, right?
Does that make sense?
I believe it.
I think and they need that. Maybe it has something to do with the new playoff format as a few years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe teams involved, all the play-ins. You know,
I don't like it.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the play-ins either, but it keeps every team involved through the whole year.
Gives you a reason not to tank unless some of these teams that are way out of it.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. Everything's expanding, right?
I mean,
college football at some point is going to be, you know, top 8, top 12. It's going to keep expanding.
Right.
NCAA went from 64 to play-in games. So I guess it's a bit of a trend. Not a trend. It's legit. It's happening. And I don't know if I love it or not. I mean, maybe it's just the boomer in me. Like, I don't know. I'm just one of those purists, right?
Purist, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. I'm the same way, especially with the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It gives everybody, all these teams a second chance, right? Teams may have had injuries as to why they didn't play so well. Now they're injury-free. And as we said a second ago, it prevents it from tanking. You're talking every team just about makes the playoffs. It's too many. It's too many.
No, I agree, but... Some great games. We'll see how. When we meet up next week, the second round will be actually already in progress.
Yeah.
Even if game goes seven, the second round will be in progress. So we'll be able to tell a little bit more next week. I'm going to say it's going to be Boston, obviously. I'm going to go Boston, and I'm going to say Orlando pulls it out. My guy, Coach Amir. So Coach Amir used to be here at CSN on the men's side. He was an assistant coach here at CSN on the men's side. Now he's a... He's one of the assistant coaches down there, the Orlando Magic. So I can't go against my guy, Amir, man. We had some cool bus rides and cool charter bus trips. And he's always stayed in touch. So that's why I'm going with Orlando. You know what? I'm going to say Knicks because you're here. But I think Philly could definitely shock the world. But I'll say it's going to be the Knicks and Indiana, man. I think that's the second round.
Well, Indiana better get it done because they're saying that Giannis and...
On their way back.
Yeah, Damian are on their way back. I mean, you got to close this out.
You got to close it out,
You got to do what Boston... Boston close it out the way you're supposed to. That's how you close out a series right there,
What does Jimmy Butler say? Don't let us get one.
That's right. Don't let us get one. And, you know, Indiana couldn't close it out at home the other day. They better close it out. Otherwise, it will be Milwaukee.
The Eastern Conference is kind of wide open. So that's going to be exciting. And I still like Denver. I think Dallas will pull it out. I think Dallas just kind of stubbed their toe that first game.
Yeah.
You know, they're two very evenly matched teams. And then, of course, we have Minnesota is moved on. And who am I missing on the West?
Nuggets. Did you say Denver?
Nuggets, yep. Denver.
You said Denver, Dallas. You said Dallas. Dallas.
Who are we missing?
All of a sudden, we're drawing a blank here on the, the West.
That's not good.
It's not good. I got to look that up.
Not
here
Sacramento.
Quick.
It's not.
No. Yeah, how come we
forget? The heck are we forgetting?
Yeah, how come we're forgetting the other game?
I need some help here, Facebook fans.
But, yeah. But no, you're right on with Minnesota, like we were talking about earlier. Now they're going to be very tough to beat.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, and I'm on the line of all the teams that you like so far. I'm right there with you. Indiana. Oh,
you know what? Who beat I got it. Who beat the Pelicans?
Who beat the Pelicans? That was OKC. How can we forget about that?
Yeah, right.
How can we forget that?
Yeah, but, so you got OKC, Denver. I'm going to say it's going to be Dallas is going to fill those third shoes, and then we got Minnesota. So I mean, that's a heck of a final eight for the NBA.
Very good.
Some star power and a little bit of a changing of the guards. You know,
yeah.
LeBron, AD.
Yeah.
Some of the older veterans bow out a little early, but now you got the Anthony Edwards, and you got some of the young guns that are coming up and saying, hey, it's my time.
It's my time, and that's good. Yeah. NBA needs that, too.
NBA needs
they need that, yeah.
For sure. CSN, ready?
Yes.
Got some pretty cool stuff. First of all, I want to throw a big shout-out to Coach Nick and the CSN baseball team. I just got done sitting over there watching. They had a four-game series that just started this morning against the Salt Lake Bruins, and Salt Lake's number 10 in the country. And CSN had two wins, doubleheader today, doubleheader tomorrow. All they had to do is win one of them to be league champs. They won this morning.
Good for them.
Believe they won 5-0. So they are the Scenic West 2024 champs and will host the region tournament starting next Thursday, which I got to figure out with this show. Maybe we'll do it live from the ballpark.
Hey, we can do that too. Absolutely.
So congratulations, Coach Nick, and all the guys and the whole crew and everybody, athletic department. It's always good. You know, this is our last year in the Scenic West in Region 18 as we're moving to Region 1 with the ACCAC down in Phoenix. So what a fitting way to go out for CSN to have another banner to hang.
Absolutely.
And hopefully the boys in blue aren't done yet.
No, yeah, congratulations to them. And like you said, you get to put another banner up there. Their last year in the conference.
Oh, huge.
And start over with the new conference.
Yep.
And hopefully they can do the conference championship too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'll be great. Yeah, they win that, then they'll go on to the region. So, and another sticking with baseball, with CSN baseball, actually, tomorrow before the first game, Mayor Goodman is coming to throw out the first pitch.
She's the best.
And, well, listen to this.
Yeah.
You know, part of my role here at CSN is I help run the SCORE program.
Yeah.
And it's a collaboration between CSN and the SNOA, the Southern Nevada Officials Association, to try to recruit, retain, and educate more local referees for high school games and whatnot. So Carolyn Goodman was a driving force behind that program. And so next episode, I'll tell you why she's throwing out the pitch. There's a little hitch. I don't want it to get leaked from our very popular podcast. You never know who's watching. But tomorrow something really cool is going to happen that the mayor doesn't even know about.
Okay.
She's here to throw out the first pitch. But
awesome.
There's going to be some naming stuff going on. And I think she's going to be really excited. She's on her way out retiring. Yeah. Her and Oscar, obviously, for so many years have been the mayor of Vegas. We're going to have a new mayor soon.
Yeah, those two are the best. You know, they always push for sports. When Oscar was in office, right, every year he pushed to get a sports team out here.
Yep.
You know, he was the I think he's really the driving force behind teams being here.
Yeah. Well, he got the NBA All-Star game was huge.
Yeah.
That was one of his brainchilds. Yeah.
Yeah. And his wife takes over and continued it. And
heavy in the
great
sports.
Mayors. To me, I think, anyways, they're great mayors in the city.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
Yeah. That's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
Are
you around tomorrow?
Yeah, I can make time.
How about that?
Come
meet Mayor Goodman and
baseball's
got some cool stuff happening right now. We have on the basketball side, actually, I got a little event here. We're teaming up with Vegas Has a Heart, and we're going to be doing an event on May 11th at the Las Vegas Aces practice facility.
Okay.
And basically what it is it's a screening for sudden cardiac arrest for young athletes. So if you're a young athlete between the ages of 10 and 25, I highly encourage you, if you're a parent listening to this or a family member listening to this, the event will be held at Las Vegas Aces practice facility. It's 1415 Raiders Way in Henderson, and it goes from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. CSN women's basketball team will be there. The Aces will be there. It's for ages 10 to 25, so college level athletes and beyond can get tested, because, you know, it's been a big thing. And I'm just going to read it here right now. It says the mission is to offer free heart screening opportunities to all Las Vegas athletes and mandate heart screening as part of the annual physical exam. 80% of sudden cardiac arrest victims have no prior life-threatening symptoms. So I think it's important. It's been a big issue in the news. And we got contacted by the folks over there at Vegas Has a Heart, and instantly said, yeah, we'll be part of it. So the girls, my team, are super excited to be able to, you know, be part of this event. And it doesn't hurt that we're doing it with the Aces at their practice facility.
Absolutely. They're going to have a blast. Girls are going to have a blast, yeah.
Yep. We get lucky enough to – we've done quite a few little events with the Aces here and there, basketball clinics. And we helped them with their season ticket kickoff last year. So very excited for this event. I'm going to be having my whole team out there, and I'll be out there, my coaches, and be part of the community as well.
That's huge.
Speaking of part of the community, we had I don't want to get the number wrong. I feel like I want to look it up, but I'm not going to look it up. I'm going to guesstimate. Just announced today from our banquet last week, I want to say it was 4,338 hours of community service in 1 year by all the sports teams. Over 4,000. I don't remember the exact numbers. Awesome as a JUCO to be able to be in the community.
That's huge. That's a lot of hours right there. Yeah, it's getting it done right there.
Mona and Bo are good friends. The cheer team. They led the individual team. They won the team award for the most hours.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Very good.
Out in the community, I let it be known when I'm recruiting that it's a big part of what we do. I'm going to sneeze for the first time on a podcast.
Bless you.
That'll be a blooper. it's a big part of what we do is community service. I've never had a kid go, no, I don't want to come there because I don't want to do community service.
Right.
Because like I said, we're hanging with the Aces. Not a bad gig.
It's a heck of a motivation right there.
Yeah.
To go out and do that. Yeah.
Yep.
It's for a good cause. That's huge. That's very huge right there.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a fun one for sure. And now here's the little bit of news sticking with, it's tricky because I can give a little bit away, but not the whole thing, is, Jordan opened her recruitment back up.
Yes.
So I think we touched about that last week. Did we touch about that last week?
I think we did. Yes.
Yep. So she signed early. She actually visited and verbally committed in December, which is pretty early to sign for a JUCO kid. And was going to go down to Texas A&M International. Well, her coach Vogel, took a job. It happens. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Definitely
coach,
happens.
Yeah, good for him. He's moving up. He's where he wants to be. But when that happens, you know, people who signed have the opportunity to open their recruitment up. So Jordan immediately said, yep, let's open up the recruitment. So I opened up the recruitment yesterday.
Imagine how many teams, or how many schools.
Unbelievable.
Oh.
I joked around before we got on live here is I had to put my phones on airplane mode.
Because
it actually, I forgot last night when I went to sleep, I forgot to turn my ringer off. And 5 o'clock this morning, bink, 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 all these teams from the East Coast. It's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, right.
They don't know. They should know because I'm in Vegas.
But
they don't know. But yeah, so Jordan has opened up her recruitment and is getting some amazing feedback. Really good schools. As a matter of fact, I had a top 25 team call.
Wow. I don't doubt that. With a player like her, if you were to see her play, you would understand why coach is getting all these text messages. Special player like her.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, most of these schools are on a program called Synergy, so they can pull it up and look at her, but some aren't. So I made a little highlight clip last night. It took me about 2 hours, two and a half hours of sitting up making this. You're welcome, Jordan, making these, spending my time. No, I'm just kidding. It's my job. It's one of the best parts of the job.
Oh, absolutely. Got to be gratifying for sure.
Super gratifying. Yeah. So I'm making her video last night, and I'm going, jeez. I think sometimes as a coach, you don't Yeah, you got to sit back and appreciate some of the stuff she did. I was like, holy smokes. Yeah. Those are big time moves and big time defensive plays. And so her film is up on YouTube, and I'm sending it to coaches now. And I expect it's a dead period coming up starting Monday. So she's trying to get all these phone calls in, lots of schools. Yeah. We had to kind of put a pause on the D2s. I mean, I can't even tell you how many D2s have reached out. Probably 25, 30.
I was going to say, you probably can't even rattle them all off right now.
No way.
There's too many of them.
And we appreciate them. Sure. I never want them to think we're big time in them, but when she has the opportunity that she's created, because when she committed in December and signed early January, she had a phenomenal season after that. Mm-hmm. Like she just went up.
It all went up.
So there was actually a pretty decent school. I just don't want to say the names, but a pretty decent school that called me that said, hey, we were at your semifinal game versus CSI and loved Jordan, but knew she was committed, so we didn't talk. Right. But now that she's open, we want her. And it's like a lot of these coaches are saying full ride without even, I mean, it's a boom.
It's automatic.
It's what do you need? Yeah. How do we get you here? So another exciting,
Yeah, of course.
It's always good to have a program that wins.
Yeah,
it does good things in the community, and then gets their kids on to the next level.
Absolutely, and you talked about how you're putting it all together, and you're watching what she's doing. When you're coaching, you're engrossed in coaching and coaching the game. See, when I see it, it's from a fan perspective, of course. Now you're seeing it. Now you're seeing it from a fan perspective. What we see when we're watching the game.
Yeah,
and it is wow with her game for sure.
Yep.
I mean, you see her in practice, of course, and all that.
Sure. Too, but, and, I told some coaches like this, and it's no secret to Jordan either, is, Jordan was what she was when she got here. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think she's significantly better leaving. Oh, yeah. But it's the same thing's going to happen at the 4-year. They're going to get her here and try to get her here.
Absolutely.
It's not like where she's at is where she's done being.
No,
it's,
she's got
it's
more
just
to
the time
come,
thing.
Yeah.
She's done here. She's a 4-2-4 kid, which means she started at a 4-year. She's graduating from a 2-year on May 13th, and now she's going back to a 4-year. Yeah. So she's still got a lot of basketball to play.
Oh, absolutely.
And one of the coaches this morning said, does she want to play pro ball? Because she has the type of game after college that she could go overseas and make money. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool to hear some of these coaches, their take. Another coach that called today from a pretty good size program called and said, I went on Synergy. I watched 3 plays and called. He's like, coach, I usually watch a lot more than that. But the first 3 plays that came up, done. Yeah. Like, how do we get in the sweepstakes? Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. We talked about, it might have been episode 2, how your biggest jump is from your freshman to your sophomore year.
Sure.
Jordan is going up and up and up and up. You know what I mean? It's almost like every other year is her sophomore year from the freshman year.
Yeah.
That's how she's going how she is going to go and end up. But yeah.
Yeah. And she's put it all together now, become a really solid student as well, which is super helpful. And again, that's one of the things in this program that we put an emphasis on. So you can't come in and not do schoolwork. It's schoolwork. It's kind of like high school. You do schoolwork, you don't play.
Right.
There's just too many. We have too many hoopers here. So, that's where we're at. And it's been a lot of fun. Frog in my throat. It's been a lot of fun. And like I said, it's kind of the payoff as a coach.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely definitely gratifying. You not only you're doing your job, but you're so engrossed with these kids like they're your own anyways, and that's what makes you feel real good about it there.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's awesome. It's just got to be an awesome feeling. Yeah. You've done a great job with all these kids.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I tell them they do the work. Some of them just need a little bit of guidance, and that's what I try to.
Oh, they're young. They're young. Yeah.
And it's funny, on Twitter, I just posted something today. It was something I've said a few times. I talked to Coach Lee and obviously Julie and some people. I said, if I wasn't a coach, I think, or I may have even missed my calling as a recruiter. I think I just love the recruiting process, right? And I don't get all the kids. I got 2 kids that I've recruited for a long time today. Let me know they were going to a different school, not a JUCO, but just a different level. One's going to a D2, another one's going to a D3. And I know I'm not going to get every kid, but I love the process of recruiting, of getting to know the players and having the players get to know me and how we do things here.
Right.
And I think that I posted on Twitter today. I don't really post too much on Twitter, but I was like, If I had to rewind time and I couldn't be a coach again, I'd be a recruiter. You know, yeah. If I couldn't be a head coach, I'd want to be on a staff and be a recruiter because I just love that, you know, that
the process.
The process of it.
And plus, you get to see the kids play.
Yeah.
You get to see them develop almost in a way, too, depending on how many times you go and see them play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's part of it.
It's fun. Yeah. Fun. And as a matter of fact, tonight we have open gym. We have open gym tonight, and I have two potential recruits coming in, one from Utah that was here and did some workouts yesterday, and she's going to do our open gym tonight, and another one, a transfer from a school up north, Shoreline College up in the NWAC, who's a Vegas kid and is back home and wants to get a run. So it's just nonstop. There's always new players to talk to and look at. And, you know, a post I put a couple weeks ago is I can't keep everybody.
No.
Is, you know, it's a limited number. You see my numbers up on the wall, right?
Yeah.
The folks at home can't see it, but I have 1 through 12, and I have 11 spots filled. Can I keep 13, 14, 15? Yes. But I like to be real specific with my first 12 and kind of keep that flexibility. Sure. Maybe I add some people. Maybe I don't. Maybe a needle mover comes through that I wasn't expecting.
Right.
Maybe it's or maybe they don't, and I keep that low number.
And that'll come at just a second wave of recruitment, right? Because you said the dead period is what, Monday?
So, interesting. Dead period is Monday to how about that? Monday to Sunday. But that's only Division I and Division II.
Right, okay.
JUCO doesn't have the same rules.
No dead period. Right, you're talking right the dead period with Jordan and beyond because they're moving on. Right, yes. Right.
So it's the D1 coaches that are actually recruiting high school kids. Like it's that.
Yes.
I believe part of it is the timing is this upcoming week is right around some college finals, and so I think they want to limit the amount of interaction. I think there's probably some truth to that. I'm not positive, but yeah, so they have a dead period. And we have just a totally different set of rules. Still part of the NCAA or the NJCAA, but just a little bit different recruiting rules. So exciting stuff. And I was telling you off camera too that even this podcast right here, I was talking to one of the coaches that's recruiting Jordan. And he's like, man, keep up the videos, man. Keep up the videos. Love seeing the videos. And he was specifically talking about the one about playing time.
Yeah.
In the open gyms and over dribbling. And he said the 9 second shot clock. He's like, I'm using that with my team.
That's a great one right there. That was the Billy Donovan one.
That was the Billy Donovan one. And, you know, there's so many levels to that story. And it comes, you can combine what's really cool about, I love about social media, whether it's Instagram or TikTok or you know, that algorithm loads you up with things you want to see. So I look at all basketball stuff. So I get all basketball stuff.
Right.
And
right.
Then you start seeing some of these coaches like Billy Donovan and, Eric Spoelstra or like Pat Riley. You start seeing these really good stuff. Pat Summitt.
Yes.
And Pat Summitt talked a little bit about to tie in that last that last week's story was when I talked about 9 seconds of shooting and what'd you do the rest of the game. And I saw one with her that could tie right into it saying that, you know, you can have a bad shooting night. You just can. But you can't have a bad communication
night. No, no.
And you can't have a bad rebounding night. And you can't have a bad defensive night. And I thought that was really strong because so many players at so many levels, male, female, it doesn't matter, high school, middle school, college, pro, so much of their success and their mind hinges on points.
Points.
And when I heard Pat Summitt say, you can't have a bad day communicating with me.
No.
You can't. It's not allowed. You can't have a bad day rebounding. You got to give the effort to go after it. And I thought that was pretty solid. And that might be the next little mini clip.
Yeah, and that's what made Dennis Rodman who he was, right? The rebounding, the defense, is all out on every play.
Yeah.
Wasn't a great scorer. I don't know how gifted he really was, you know, obviously on the offensive end, but he never took a play off on defense and rebounding.
And made a lot of money.
Made a lot of money,
And made top 50. Top 50 player of all time and championships. And I wasn't sure if this is true. Maybe you'll remember. I saw something today that said, did he have a game with 49 rebounds?
Oh, if he did, I don't remember that. That's a high number.
It was it was a graphic that said 0 points, 49 rebounds, Dennis Rodman. It's crazy. I just saw it this morning. You bring it up. But I know he had a lot where, you know, in the high 20s, probably low 30s. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that graphic and I was like, I don't remember him getting 49 rebounds and 0 points. I don't remember that. But I don't doubt it. If there's somebody out there other than Wilt Chamberlain,
right? Yeah,
that is going to do it.
It would be Dennis Rodman. Yeah,
Dennis Rodman. So yeah, it's, you know, so all the young players is, you can have a bad shooting night, you can't have a bad communication day, a bad communication game. You can't have a bad rebounding game. Can't have a bad defensive game. You know, shooting comes and goes. Some days you're on fire. Some days it's not falling. Some day, and most days it's somewhere in between.
Right.
But when it comes to next level and reaching the next level, is don't let those other things have bad nights. Shooting, your coaches will get overshooting.
Yeah. We talked about that last week with communication. Communication is so huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta talk.
Gotta talk. And it's funny, you know, geez, man, I could talk about this stuff forever. Coach Barry, what's going on? My guy, Coach Barry, he's a 6'17 guy, moved to Arizona, Boston guy, moved to Arizona, ran some awesome tournaments down there, youth tournaments, all kinds of tournaments. Then relocated to Florida, still doing his stuff. Glad you're doing well, Coach. Put in the comments there, who is your guy? St. John's?
What year?
80, our year.
80s, Walter Berry.
Walter Berry.
There it is.
That's his. I think he's his uncle. I believe. Uncle,
oh, really? All uncle right, Berry. Yeah. Walter Coach Berry could play.
Yeah, Walter Berry, ooh. St. John's.
Hey, yeah, no. St. John's.
And that's, hey, Coach, that's from a Cuse guy saying that Walter Berry could play because he could. I mean,
yeah, he could, man. I watched the Big East all the time. I don't know, Seton Hall, Villanova playing. I'd watch it. It was Big East ball back then.
Yeah.
That was great back then. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Walter Berry. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had a key block on my guy, the Pearl, at the end of one of the games. Pearl was going in underneath Walter Berry on the block. I like to watch Walter Berry play.
Yeah. I think he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated a couple times, too. He had a heck of a college career.
I know Felipe Lopez was for St. John's at one time. Yeah.
But, yeah, getting back to communication, man. Yeah. It's something pretty interesting about communication is and you kind of said something that I love that you said and a lot of kids say and a lot of coaches say, right, is we're talking about communication in sports, and you said you got to talk. But there's so much more to communication than talking that it took me a minute to really realize the impact that nonverbal communication or when you communicate, like, and I do this one of the first weeks when my players get on campus here is we talk about dead ball communication.
Yes.
Like how much time is wasted during the span of a game. Not while the ball's in play,
right.
Dead ball, the foul, you know, foul shots, the refs meeting up and talking. How many opportunities you have to communicate? It doesn't have to be, hey, we're in this defense. It can be, we're in this defense. Don't forget there. The point guard might say, hey, let's run Z next play.
Right.
But it could just be like, hey, keep attacking the rim, bud. Like, you know, just let's get this next. Let's get a kill, a score, a stop, and a score. We call it kill.
Right.
Let's get a kill, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That communication, obviously the high fives we talked about with Steve Nash. So communication, man, you want to stand out. And we got a couple players this year that communicated a lot, a freshman in particular, Leah Mitchell, in practice and games, is just go. Talk, say something. And that becomes contagious.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about that apparently was a problem for the Knicks at the end of that last game when they had no timeouts and whether to foul before the three or not. And even Coach Tibbs even said he was no timeouts. I thought maybe we talk about it, what to do when they were at the line.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Apparently nobody talked about what they were going to do. They just let it go. Next thing you know, bang, the three.
So you just made my point at the NBA level.
Yeah, at the NBA level. Yeah.
You know, you talk about when you get in close games, you know, a couple possession games, close games, 6, 7, 8, anything under 10, I consider a close game, right? Yeah. Come on in, Coach. You good? All right, Coach Lee. Coach Lee almost made it. Coach Lee almost made it.
Yeah, come on in, Coach. Come on in, Coach.
Food. All I gotta do is say food. Come on, take a look. Got some food over there. There's no way we're gonna eat it all. Make a plate. Coach Lee is going to, at some point, we're going to, we got to get another mic in here so we can start having guests.
We can start it right now, Coach, if you want.
So what we're talking about now, Coach Lee, just to kind of put it together, is that communication and how many opportunities during a game there are to communicate. It's not just, hey, what defense are we in, but we were talking about dead ball communication and how it even in the NBA with the Knicks game, it hurt because they didn't know whether they had a timeout or not. Didn't communicate. So I'm communicating to you right now. There's some Panda Express over there, and I'm communicating. Make yourself a plate, bud.
As I say, Coach, if you want to come and talk about communication, come and talk about communication.
I don't know how to communicate.
Okay, all right.
He's not a communicator. He's more of an action taker.
There we go.
But, yeah, no, communication is such a valuable part of the game that I think a lot of players, not that they don't know that it's important, but they don't, you know, when we talk about working on your craft, I think a lot of people just stick to two things. They stick to ball handling and shooting.
Yeah.
They don't work on rebounding. They don't work on angles of rebounds. They don't work on boxing out. They don't work on communication. Yeah. They don't work on
defense.
You know, who goes to a gym and no, you work on your shot and you work on your handle. So, I think it's not the fun, sexy part of the game, but it's what creates, we were talking about those close games. It's what helps you in those close games or separates you.
Oh, absolutely.
Makes a close game now in your favor, not a close game.
Right,
because
absolutely.
You're taking care of every possession. Situation, time, and score, you know.
Right.
Yes. Shot clock's off, the end of a quarter. You hold the ball, you take the last shot. And some kids, I can't tell you, every year a high school kid questions me on that. Not questions me like, what are we doing?
Right.
But why do we do that?
Right.
And it's such a simple, you know, you don't want to give them an opportunity to score again.
That's
so
it.
We'll take
That's
our time. The shot clock's off. We're going to take the last shot. But they're like, well, what if we score early? All right. So what if they give you a layup? Am I saying don't take it? That's a gray area.
Right.
But am I saying don't take the wide open layup? Not really.
Right.
That's an exception to the rule. If you get a wide open layup, they could inbound the ball and hit a three.
Right. Now you're down a point.
Now you're down a point.
Yeah.
And, you know. And,
absolutely.
But you don't want to not take those last, you know, those open shots. That's a little bit different. But you want to run your stuff, shoot with a couple seconds left. Yeah. Maybe you get an offensive rebound, a tip back. But
right. I think that's more so at the end of the game instead of the end of the half or quarter. Right, in women's basketball, but you're right, time and situation.
Yeah, you got to know it. And, you know, I think it's beyond the point of your point guard has to know it. Your coaching staff has to know it. But in my opinion, everybody has to know it. I don't care if you're a five. You should recognize the shot clock.
It's the IQ of the game.
It's the IQ of the game. And the more people you have recognizing things like that, the more, you know, you'll probably have a little bit more success in those situations.
Absolutely.
What are we getting over there, Coach?
A little bit of everything.
Oh, boy. We did a little Panda Express. We were going to do a review, but I think everybody already has their own opinion on Panda Express.
Right?
You either like it or you don't. And, but I think I ordered a little too much.
No, that'll never go to waste. Bring it home.
No, hey, listen, we got open gym coming. Trent's coming. Tracy's coming.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen, Aaliyah will be back here.
She'll be back. Yeah, we miss her this week, but she'll be here later on.
So, yeah, man, some pretty cool stuff on the CSN side. Coach, I was just letting them know CSN Baseball won, or the SWAC champs.
Now that's regular season, right?
It's regular,
regular season.
Season,
yeah, right. Now they got the conference tournament.
They'll host the conference tournament Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week as the number one seed, and they'll play College of Southern Idaho in the first round, and then they'll match up with either Utah State Eastern or Salt Lake Battle of Utah and the JUCO level. And just, I mean, amazing baseball. Yeah. It's just amazing baseball.
They've always been good.
Yeah,
for the
and
most part,
beautiful facilities. If you've never been out to the to the Henderson campus out there in Henderson to take a look at and watch a game this week, would be a great time tomorrow or next week to come catch some high level baseball if you're in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, bud. We're coming up on the 40-minute mark
already. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Jeez, what did we not cover today? No,
did you happen to catch that, you know, we were talking about the Aces earlier. Did you happen to catch that half-hour show they had on them?
So I caught the end of it. My athletic director texted me and said, are you watching that? Did you watch it?
I watched it.
How was it?
It was good.
Yeah?
It was good. The one thing that stuck out to me was the they play as a team, right? We talked about that before, you know, because they were talking about how the Liberty basically, in a sense, tried to get a super team. Yeah. And it worked, right? They got to the finals.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Aces, because they've played for a few years together, these girls, right, mm-hmm. these ladies, that was a team.
Yeah.
They played as a team. They started out rough in that series but ended up winning it.
Yep.
But goes, you know, got it. It's a team. It's a team game.
It's a team game,
it's not individuals. It's a team game. Yeah. Coach Lee.
Coach is holding up one finger over there. Either he agrees or.
Not to change the subject, but what do you think about the Brittany Griner story last night? The Robin Roberts shot. There's a segment with Brittany Griner.
Didn't see it.
I did not see that either.
I saw some highlights on it, but I heard it was very emotional. I heard it was very, I'm going to have to look that up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was just unreal.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch that. Yeah. So I'm a cable cutter. I'm a cord cutter. I haven't had cable in almost 15 years.
Okay.
So I watch so little TV in my life, and I love it. You know, if I want to see a sporting event or something, I can always find it online. Yeah. Trent can pull it up, or he's got his little secret ways to watch a game or whatever it may be. Or I'll go down to, you know, Bourbon Street or somewhere like that and just watch a game.
Yeah.
But, I always get secondhand information. Like, you watched that last night. Coach Lee saw that. But, that's a story to be told with Brittany. And it'll be told for many years to come down the road, that, you know, situation in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And, pretty crazy stuff, you know. And I think all in all, that WNBA season, man, it's creeping up. The training camps are in full force. Man, it's...
They have a preseason game coming up soon, I believe, too.
Yeah.
And then before
be out there on the 11th.
Yeah.
So if you guys don't know, come get your heart screen. Bring your players, coach. Free heart screening. May 11th, 11 to 2 p.m., ages 10 to 25 at the Las Vegas Aces practice facility. Free event. We're excited to be there. So, I'll tell you what. Got a busy weekend, Ball Dogs. We'll recap the Ball Dogs All-Star game. Hopefully you can get a chance to come out and see Carolyn Goodman throw out the first pitch tomorrow and watch some baseball. And then we'll clearly have an update on the Knicks here soon enough. The game has begun.
I don't even know what time is.
Yeah, it started at 4:30, right?
Wow.
So
okay.
We'll have next week. We'll have next week. We might be at the ballpark, bud.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
We might try to do a remote show.
I'll ask
my AD if we can carve out a little space out there. And might have to wear the headphones again.
Thumbs up from Coach Lee. We're good to go.
There it is. Do it. All right. Well, have a great week, and we'll see everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Doo Doo and Foo Show.
Thank you.